sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. This last week has been full of 9/11 news, with the Obama administration claiming to have killed Osama bin Laden in Abbottabad, Pakistan. Today we'll explore some of the evidence showing that Osama bin Laden actually died the first time in December of 2001. And then we'll look at his more recent death at the hands of the U.S. Navy SEALs. But first, I want to share with you the ruling by the Second Circuit Court of Appeals in New Haven on April Gallup's case against Cheney, Rumsfeld, and General Myers. April is a survivor of the Pentagon attack on September 11, 2001. I'm going to read you an article written by Radhi Ananda and posted on the website globalresearch.ca. on April 29, 2011. So here goes. Bush court dismisses 9/11 suit against Bush officials, orders sanctions. Rather than judiciously review significant evidence in the events of September 11, 2001, on April 27, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a lower court's dismissal of an Army specialist's complaint against former Vice President Dick Cheney, former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, and former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Richard Myers. One of plaintiff April Gallup's attorneys, William Veal, didn't know whether to relate the decision to Kafka, Orwell, Carroll, or Huxley, referring to the absurdity and dearth of reason emanating from the court regarding the deadliest attack on U.S. soil the nation has ever faced. The court's decision, analogous to reviewing an indictment in a liquor store holdup without mentioning the guy walking in with the gun, refuses to acknowledge even the existence of the three defendants, much less what they were doing that morning or saying about it afterwards, Veal added. Of the three judges on the panel, John Mercer Walker Jr. is first cousin of former President George H.W. Bush and first cousin once removed of George W. Bush, who used 9/11 to manipulate public emotion to support passage of the unconstitutional Patriot Acts and wage illegal wars of aggression in the Middle East. According to Wikipedia, Walker shares a grandfather with the 41st president, George Herbert Walker, whose daughter married Prescott Bush. A motion to force Judge Walker's removal from the case was denied, despite a clear conflict of interest. The lawsuit prepared by the Center for 9/11 Justice accuses the defendants of conspiring to facilitate the terrorist acts of 9/11 that killed 3,000 Americans and which has resulted in the deaths of many more due to the toxicity of the cleanup conditions at Ground Zero. The plaintiff and her son were both injured in the attack on the Pentagon, multiple videos of which the government has refused to release to the public. Ignoring crucial evidence like the total collapse of World Trade Center 7, though not hit by a plane on September 11th, the whereabouts of and statements made by the defendants on 9/11, and the presence of thermitic material in the rubble of the Twin Towers, the court ludicrously affirmed the lower court's finding that the case was not plausible and the product of cynical delusion and fantasy. Additionally, the court filed an order to show cause for sanctions amounting to $15,000 for filing a frivolous suit, which the Center for 9/11 Justice plans to appeal. Meanwhile, nearly 1,500 professional architects, engineers, and scientists continue to assert the physical impossibility of all three World Trade Center buildings collapsing in near free fall as a result of burning jet fuel. Indeed, it is the government's conspiracy version which is implausible, fanciful, fantastic, and delusional. The bravery of April Gallup in her attempt to expose the truth is as laudable as the obvious official corruption is contemptible. An unbiased judicial review of the events surrounding 9/11 will not be found in the United States, but refusal to do so only heightens global suspicion. The conspiracy and cover-up was so poorly executed that the vast majority of the planet's population doubts the official version of events. And again, that article can be found on globalresearch.ca, which I highly recommend. It's an excellent website. And now, a little background on Osama bin Laden. According to George Humphrey in his booklet, 9/11, The Great Illusion, Osama bin Laden is a Saudi Arabian and from the early 1980s was a CIA asset whose Western cover name was Tim Osman. His family is very wealthy and owns the construction company, the Saudi Bin Laden Group, that has been instrumental in building dozens of American military bases in the Middle East. The Bin Laden family and the Bush families have been friends and business partners for many years. In 1977, George Bush Jr. started Arbusto Energy Company in Midland, Texas. One of his first and major investors was Salem bin Laden, who was the older brother of Osama bin Laden. Here's some of what Larry Chin has to say about Osama bin Laden in his article, Obama's Big Lie, White House Propaganda and the Death of Osama bin Laden, which was posted on globalresearch.ca on May 2, 2011. He says, Osama bin Laden has been a CIA asset in reality and a propaganda boogeyman in official fiction. The official Osama bin Laden narrative, along with Islamic terrorism and Al-Qaeda, is a CIA military intelligence fabrication designed to provide a pretext for an eternal global war agenda and to provide an ongoing propaganda pretext for the war on terrorism. The militant Islamic network, including bin Laden himself, has been, since the Cold War, an intelligence network that has been run on behalf of Anglo-American interests. The attack of 9/11 was a false flag operation planned and carried out by Anglo-American intelligence assets blamed on Al-Qaeda despite no credible supporting evidence. And now here's a clip of CBS News anchorman Dan Rather interviewing a veteran CIA agent on September 12, 2001.
Here now to elaborate and lend more context, the veteran and distinguished CIA officer we met in that report, Milt Bearden. He joins us from our Washington Bureau tonight. Thank you for being with us. What's at stake in the way we respond to these attacks, Mr. Bearden?
Dan, I think just about everything is at stake. There is probably no more important action that the United States will take in the last 40 or 50 years than how we handle retribution and retaliation for what happened yesterday in New York and in Washington.
Well, if the president should come to you and ask you, what do you think I should do, what would you tell him?
I'd tell him, first off, steady as she goes. The president has the most complete backing of the American people that I've seen in 40 years of public service. He's got a Congress that is totally behind him. He's not troubled with extraneous problems. He can focus, go steady as she goes, focus on finding out who did this thing yesterday and then dealing with it in a way that will not bring yet more troubles to us.
Well, it's pretty obvious the judgment is coalescing around the president that it was Osama bin Laden.
I know we live in a country where we're often told that the first thing that comes to your mind, put it down, put the little mark in there. I feel slightly uncomfortable because I spent so many years wondering how the myth of Osama bin Laden got started. We have the Osama bin Laden who was the great war hero in Afghanistan. We have Osama bin Laden who was trained by CIA, funded and supported by CIA during 3 years of war. I was there at the same time bin Laden was there. He was not the great warrior that went and fought the Soviet Union to a standstill. CIA had nothing to do with him. I think that that mythological Osama bin Laden, never mind that he's an absolutely evil man, but the mythological Osama bin Laden causes me trouble, and I think maybe there is another answer out there. I'm not certain that I know what it is. So.
Well, Milt Bearden, again, you're one of our most experienced people with long experience in Afghanistan. What does your gut tell you about who's responsible for these attacks this week?
My gut tells me we don't know the answer yet. My gut tells me that I'm not going to go with the first answer that comes to mind, but there's quite possibly something else out there. experts will jump on you and say it's Osama bin Laden's MO. He's the only one that is capable of this type of coordinated attack. My answer to them is he's the only one you know that's capable of this kind of attack. This was a tremendously sophisticated operation against the United States. More sophisticated than anybody would ever have ascribed to Osama bin Laden. I think we need to do a little homework. We need to appoint a team B that looks for somebody else. I'm just not convinced it was bin Laden.
You're doubtful. I want to come back to that. If you can ride with me just a moment, Milt Bearden.
Sure.
There's no question in my mind that you're skeptical that Osama bin Laden, aided and abetted, or at least protected by the Taliban, should be the principal target of some large military operation. If I'm wrong about that, tell me now.
No, you're not wrong, Dan. I'm saying is, let me step back one step on this and say, Osama bin Laden is an evil man, and he's a component of the terrorism that we're dealing with across the board. All I'm saying is that I think Osama bin Laden has become the metaphor for the entire problem of terrorism involving Muslims with perceived grievances against the United States. And I think it would be wrong to say this is a one-size-fits-all operation and to go after bin Laden, because an operation as sophisticated as carried out yesterday was an operation that was concealed from us for months, probably before it took place. It happened without essentially a hitch except for one aircraft. And there is no reason to believe that these same people weren't capable of covering their tracks somehow on the way out. Now, I would go so far as to say that this group who was responsible for that, if they didn't have an Osama bin Laden out there, they'd invent one, because he's a terrific diversion for the rest of the world. Could I be wrong? Of course I could be wrong. It could be Osama bin Laden. If that's the case, it's an easy solution for the president.
And again, that was Dan Rather on CBS News interviewing CIA agent Milt Bearden on September 12, 2001. Now, you may start to wonder why the Bush and Obama administrations were so determined to capture bin Laden after you hear this next article. This is from an article by the Muckraker Report from June 10, 2006, and it says, on June 5, 2006, the Muckraker Report contacted the FBI headquarters to learn why bin Laden's most wanted poster did not indicate that Osama was wanted in connection with 9/11. The Muckraker Report spoke with Rex Toom, chief of investigative publicity for the FBI. When asked why there is no mention of 9/11 on bin Laden's most wanted webpage, Toom said, quote, the reason why 9/11 is not mentioned on Osama bin Laden's most wanted page is because the FBI has no hard evidence connecting bin Laden to 9/11, unquote. So in spite of the fact that the FBI said in 2006 that they had no hard evidence linking Osama bin Laden to 9/11, the hunt for him continued. Another curious reason why the government would still be searching for Osama bin Laden is that he seems to have died, at least for the first time, in December of 2001. And here's author David Ray Griffin on the Tom Hartman Show in October of 2009 discussing his book, Osama bin Laden, Dead or Alive.
Is everything you know wrong about this guy, Osama bin Laden? Is he dead or alive? One of my favorite authors, David Ray Griffin, professor of philosophy of religion and theology, emeritus of the Claremont School of Theology and Claremont Graduate University, Claremont, California, the co-author or author of over 35 books, including the New Pearl Harbor, Debunking the 9/11, Debunking the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, 9/11 Contradictions, has a new book out. It is titled Osama bin Laden, Dead or Alive. David Ray Griffin, Dr. Griffin, welcome back to our program.
Good to be back with you, Tom.
Great to have you here. So, is Osama bin Laden, by the way, I should say, I've read most all of your book, and I think it's brilliant, but for our listeners, is Osama bin Laden dead or alive?
You know, I can't say 100%, but I can say there's no good evidence that he is still alive, and there's a lot of good evidence that he's dead. So I would say most likely dead.
Yes, and specifically, it looks like he died in December of 2001, from everything I read in your book and all the various news reports, and the fact that it was officially announced in the Pakistani press, as I recall, that there was a funeral held for him.
Yes, you have three kinds of evidence that come together. One is the a funeral announcement saying that on December 26th, saying that he had died and been buried in mid-December. And about that same time, the CIA completely lost touch with him. Up till then, they had been regularly intercepting his communications, radio communications with his people, and they suddenly came to an end and never to be reestablished. And then a third thing is that in Muslim countries, it's custom to bury people very, very quickly.
Right.
So that those three things suggest that that's what did happen.
Right. And it was December, was it December 13th, 2000?
Yeah, that date may be a little too precise.
Was it 2001, am I recalling right, or 2000? What was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, it's 2001.
Yeah.
But it did seem
okay.
to be December 13th or 14th that the communications came to an end.
So was that was right after Tora Bora, wasn't it?
That's right. And yeah. the third element of evidence is that there was a lot of evidence that he was a kidney patient, that he was in the final stages, in fact, of
kidney failure.
Kidney failure.
Yeah.
And so when you put that together with these reports, the evidence is pretty strong.
Yeah, thus all the jokes about, you know, why can't the, you know, if George Bush is such a great cowboy, aside from the fact that he's afraid of horses, which is why he never had any horses at his ranch, how can he fail to find a 6'6" guy riding around on a camel with a dialysis machine? Well, apparently because the guy is dead. This raises two questions, David. We're talking with David Ray Griffin, his new book, Osama Bin Laden, Dead or Alive. It's a compelling read. And a short one. This is an afternoon or a weekend's read. You'll find it fascinating. The two questions immediately that are raised by this are, one, what about all these bin Laden tapes that we keep getting, and particularly the ones that the Bush administration kept trotting out during the 2004 election? And two, to whose benefit, or who accrues the greatest benefit? There's a long list, actually, of people who accrue benefit. But who accrues the greatest benefit from maintaining the mythology that Osama bin Laden is still alive, that there's still a Lex Luthor out there, so we have a Superman here? And in particular, why would and I think the answer to that with regard to the Bush administration is pretty easy to figure out, but I want to hear your riff on it anyway. But
yeah.
Why would the Obama administration continue this?
Yes, well, there you got three questions there,
yeah.
So let me take them in order.
Go for it.
First, when I said there's no good evidence that he's still alive, many people might have said, well, just a minute. You know, almost every month we get a new bin Laden audio tape, videotape, and the CIA authenticates it and says, yes, this is genuine.
Yep.
Well, so that's the longest chapter in my book and deals with the fact that, first of all, the technology for making fake audio tapes and even fake videotapes has been with us for at least a decade now. So there's no technical problem. Secondly, that as I show some of the...
You're saying this is sort of the video equivalent of Photoshop.
That's right. So there's digital morphing. You can even coordinate, synchronize the lip movements with the sound.
Right.
And so it
looks
pretty
authentic. So you could have a completely different person be doing the visual and then in post-production have that person's face become Osama bin Laden's. I mean, this is done all the time in the movies.
That's right. That's right. And you can take Osama's genuine voice and manipulate the words. So you can make his voice say anything you want it
right.
to say.
Right.
And so when they say, oh, yeah, that's bin Laden's voice, that doesn't mean anything
right.
anymore. And so that's one point. Second point is that some of the tapes are very obviously, I would say, and other experts say,
fakes.
I mean, real bin Laden experts say, they're faked, and for various reasons. So I take the one tape that was actually made before bin Laden probably died, was the so-called Osama bin Laden confession tape, because here the problem was not whether he was alive or dead, but did he do 9/11. And so here comes suddenly this video they claim they found in a house in Jalalabad, where he's talking to a visiting sheikh and he brags about 9/11 came off even much better than he planned it. Well, you got a lot of problems there. First of all, Bin Laden was a left-handed. This guy writes with his right hand. Secondly, you might say, well, he'd had a stroke, so his left hand was immobile. Well, he lifts his left hand above his above his head. Thirdly, his nose has a different shape. Fourthly, his fingers are, his hands are fatter and his fingers are shorter than the real Bin Laden, who had really long fingers. He looked like a pianist or a violin player and all that. So we know that there are some fake Bin Laden tapes. And so then the question is, are they all fake? And to me, it looks like they are. Now, your second question was, who benefits? And as I have another chapter showing that many of the tapes appeared at very, very convenient times. And so the other most obvious fake tape was the so-called October surprise video
that helped
Bush win the election. Your third question, why is the Obama administration continuing this? You know, I don't know what President Obama himself knows and thinks, but it's clear that the military wants to keep the war, the AFPAC war, going.
Yeah.
And so the rationalization is, well, Bin Laden's over there and his people over there, and they're in Pakistan, so that's why now it's an AFPAC war.
Yeah, there you go. Well said. David Ray Griffin, his new book, Osama Bin Laden, Dead or Alive. Is there a website, by the way, for this, David? Or just
a fellow does a website for me called davidraygriffin.com, or you can get all these books on Amazon.
Sure, yeah, or any, and
any good,
you know, available from all the usual suspects. David Ray Griffin, great work as always, sir. Thank you very much.
And again, that was David Ray Griffin on the Tom Hartman Show in October of 2009. In an article that David Ray Griffin wrote in October of 2009, called Osama bin Laden Dead or Alive, he states the following. In addition to this objective evidence, we had considerable testimony in 2002 from people in position to know that bin Laden was dead or probably so. These people included President Musharraf of Pakistan, Dale Watson, the head of the FBI's counterterrorism unit, Oliver North, who said, I'm certain that Osama is dead. And so are all the other guys I stay in touch with. President Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan. Sources within Israeli intelligence who said that any new messages from bin Laden were probably fabrications. Sources within Pakistani intelligence who confirmed the death of Osama bin Laden and attributed the reasons behind Washington's hiding news on the death of Osama bin Laden to the desire of the hawks of the American administration to use the issue of al-Qaeda and international terrorism to invade Iraq. Recently, two former intelligence officers have spoken out. In October 2008, former CIA case officer Robert Baer suggested in passing during an interview on National Public Radio that bin Laden was no longer among the living. When Baer was asked about this, he said, of course he's dead. In March of 2009, former Foreign Service officer Angela Codavia published an essay in the American Spectator entitled Osama bin Elvis. Explaining his title, Codavia wrote, 7 years after Osama bin Laden's last verifiable appearance among the living, there is more evidence for Elvis's presence among us than for his. So there's evidence that Osama bin Laden had kidney disease and was on dialysis prior to 9/11. And we have CIA and FBI officials, foreign intelligence officials, heads of governments, and newspapers reporting that bin Laden died in December of 2001. Which brings us to his second death this past week. According to the timeline on NPR's website, at 2 p.m. on Sunday, May 1st, Obama meets the principals in the White House Situation Room to review final preparations. At approximately 3:30 p.m., two helicopters descend on a compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, north of Islamabad. During the raid by the small team of Navy SEALs, Osama bin Laden is killed along with three adult males. One woman is killed as well. The entire operation lasts nearly 40 minutes. One helicopter malfunctions and is destroyed. but the operation ends without U.S. casualties. Bin Laden's body is removed from the compound. At 3:32 p.m., Obama returns to the Situation Room for additional briefing. At 3:50 p.m., Obama first learns that Bin Laden was tentatively identified. Shortly after the raid, Pakistani leaders are briefed of the actions. At 7:01 p.m., the president learns that there's a high probability the target was Bin Laden. At 11:35 p.m., the president speaks to the nation from the East Room. At 1:10 a.m., now Monday morning, burial ceremony for Bin Laden begins on the aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson in the North Arabian Sea. The body is washed according to traditional religious practice, wrapped in a white sheet, and placed in a weighted bag. After the religious ceremony, which lasts 50 minutes, the body is eased into the sea. Shortly before 11 a.m., DNA evidence confirms that the dead body is that of Bin Laden. Now, if you really believe that Osama bin Laden was the mastermind of 9/11, wouldn't you want to capture him to get more information out of him, like perhaps what his future plans were, who he's working with, etc.? Since the administration has now changed their story and said that they didn't get any resistance from Osama bin Laden, why kill him? And if you really believe that stuff about dumping his body into the ocean so as not to offend Muslims, we've killed over 1 million Iraqis with very little concern for offending Muslims. And here's an article that was posted on Prison Planet on May 4th, 2011 by Paul Joseph Watson, and it's called Top U.S. Government Insider: Bin Laden Died in 2001, 9/11, A False Flag. Top U.S. Government Insider Dr. Stephen R. Pisanik, a man who held numerous different influential positions under three different presidents and still works with the Defense Department, shockingly told the Alex Jones Show yesterday that Osama bin Laden died in 2001 and that he was prepared to testify in front of a grand jury how a top general told him directly that 9/11 was a false flag inside job. And now I'll end the show today by reading parts of an article from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts that was posted on Global Research on May 2nd. It's called Osama bin Laden's Second Death. And by the way, Paul Craig Roberts used to work for the Reagan administration. And here goes. If today were April 1st and not May 2nd, we could dismiss as an April Fool's joke this morning's headline that Osama bin Laden was killed in a firefight in Pakistan and quickly buried at sea. As it is, we must take it as more evidence that the U.S. government has unlimited belief in the gullibility of Americans. This morning's headline has the odor of a staged event. The smell reeks from the triumphalist news reports loaded with exaggerations, from celebrants waving flags and chanting USA. Could something else be going on? No doubt, President Obama is in desperate need of a victory. He committed the fool's error of restarting the war in Afghanistan. And now, after a decade of fighting, the U.S. faces stalemate, if not defeat. The wars of the Bush-Obama regimes have bankrupted the U.S., leaving huge deficits and a declining dollar in their wake. And re-election time is approaching. So, there's lots of evidence that Osama bin Laden died in December of 2001, and no evidence that he died for a second time on May 1st, 2011. We only have the government saying that he did. But they can't produce the body because they amazingly dumped it in the ocean. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.